we're praying the Lord will provide that, and we're looking to have, we got a number of soloists. We'd like to have more duets and more trios and quartets, so we're praying for those, praying God will arrange that, and be excited about that. Also, let me remind you, all of these thermostats are not for public consumption, okay? If you are not commissioned to mess with a thermostat, please don't touch it, all right? You'll mess everything up. I know that you'd like the temperature set just for you, but you're not the only one in here. And so let us know how it's doing, but we're trying to get everything just right. But please do not touch them yourself. I've been told we've got cameras that will take pictures of you. And so and you know who you are, and we know where you live. So the bottom line, leave them alone. All right, how's that? Did that explain that? Luke chapter 6, you know, there is nothing wrong in expecting God to honor His word. If God says something and we claim it, that's the right thing to do, isn't it? Amen. We do not do misjustice to God when we just take Him at His word. What is that old expression? God said it. I believe that settles it. But the truth is, if God said it, it's settled whether you believe it or not. But, you know, when a farmer plants his crops, he just expects them to grow. There is an expectation when you plant that seed that it's going to grow. And the Bible teaches us in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, it says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, some of you are taking that more literally, I think, than it. The liberal soul, I'm going to be very careful right there. I'm going to move right along. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. If you water, you will be watered. Is that what it says? Is there anything wrong in expecting God to do what He says He'll do? All right? The Scripture teaches us that what goes around comes around. Cast thy bread upon the water, thou shalt find it after many days. What life is like a boomerang, what you put out, it's coming back on you. All right? And so if you honor God, the Bible tells us that if you honor God with your finances, then He sets you up to be financially blessed. That's what it teaches. The surest way to achieve financial victory is to just follow every little jot and tittle of God's word. Do it exactly what He says. And there are unquestionable truths that are taught in God's word about how to give our way to receiving. And if you want something from God, then we should give something to Him. Amen. Is that what it says? Now, we're going to talk about motives a little bit later. And God is interested in our motives. But I want you to just to notice that we, as a background here, the Bible teaches us that there's some important truths, and we've already covered in stewardship some important truths that we need to remember. Number one, God owns everything. Amen? God owns it all. All everything comes from above. All the good gifts are from God. God owns it all. And all that we have, it came from God. We've studied that. We've talked about that. We've looked at that from a number of different angles. We don't need to go back over that ground tonight. You've got it down. You understand that. We recognize that we are given resources from God, and it's our responsibility to manage those resources. That's called stewardship. God is the owner. We are the manager. We understand that we will one day give an account for our management, for how we do in all of this. And we know that those that have managed well, Scripture teaches that they shall receive reward. So these are basic principles of stewardship that we've already looked at. But Scripture guarantees that you, if you give to the Lord, you will receive back from the Lord. Scripture guarantees that. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Proverbs 11:24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that scattereth. You can scatter, but the bottom line, you increase. And it says that there is that withholdeth more than is meat. In other words, you keep back more than you ought, and it tendeth to poverty. Now, according to God's word, there is a certain proportion that we are to give to Him. If we keep that, we're keeping back more than we ought. Amen? And the Bible says that's going to lead to poverty. That's not going to have the blessing of God. Listen to Proverbs 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. All right? So God shall supply all of our need. How many of you believe God knows what your needs are? Raise your hand. Do you believe that? How many of you believe that God not only can, but that God will supply? Raise your hand. You believe that? Believe He'll do what He says He'll do? Can I trust God? Absolutely. All right. And then notice Galatians chapter 6 in verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now that's a promise from God. Do we err when we expect God to just do what He says in His Word? I think not. So I want to give you six principles tonight that relates to sowing and reaping. Number one, the harvest, your harvest, depends on whether you sow. Your harvest depends on whether you sow. Now, I grew up on a farm, and if you don't put any seeds in the ground, you don't get anything back. Sometimes we had planters that we had on the back of our tractors. And depending on how many rows your machine was made to carry, we started off with a two-row planter, and then we quickly moved to a four-row planter when I was a boy, and then to a six-row, and finally we were using eight-row planters. And as you drive down through the field, you got eight, every 36 inches, you had another planter planting seed in the ground. And that's a lot to keep up with, and once in a while, one of those would get stopped up. Now, that's a bad thing. You don't want that happening. Because if it stops up and you're going down through the field, and some of those rows were a half a mile long, if you drove a half a mile with it stopped up, there's no seed going in the ground. And here's what's going to happen. When it comes up, you may have weeds in that row, but you're not going to have soybeans or cotton or corn or barley or whatever it is you're planting. If you are going to reap, you've got to sow. Okay? That's the point. You cannot reap where you cannot expect a harvest. That's the law of the harvest. If you want something good to come up out of the ground, you've got to first put something into that ground. Listen to how Jesus said it in John chapter 12 and verse 24. Because He teaches that a seed must first be given up and die in order for you to harvest. Listen to how He said it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it bideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, sowing is what sets the harvest in motion. When you put something in it, a farmer that decides not to sow and then expects a harvest is an idiot. What are you thinking? Man, you can't have a harvest if you don't sow. You got to sow. You got to put something in the ground before you get something out of the ground. Amen? How does that relate to giving? If we do not give, we're not going to get the harvest. What does it say? Give and it what? Shall be given unto you. I'm saying, folks, it's just simple. There's no way around it. If you want a harvest, you got to sow seeds. If you want to see something happen, you got to put something there. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. What's that mean? All right? So if you're chimpsy, that's a good word, folks. If you're chimpsy on your sewing, if you're too tight-fisted to put many seed in the ground, the harvest is going to show that. Because you're not going to get much back. But he says here, that he that soweth bountifully, what's that mean? Talk to me. You put a lot of seed in the ground. When you put a lot of seed in the ground, he said, shall also reap bountifully. All right, so you put a lot in, you get what? A lot back. Now, is the purpose of this verse, you think he's teaching farmers how to farm? Is that what it's about? No, it's about giving. He's teaching us, if you want God's blessing financially, there is a law that God has created. And if you will give generously, God will give back to you. Is it okay to take God at His word? How many of you believe it's okay to believe that? If He said it, is it all right? All right. So then, number one, the harvest depends, your harvest depends on whether or not you sow. I'm saying that sometimes folks want to see a harvest, but they don't sow. All right? It doesn't work. Number two, your harvest depends on what you sow. It depends on what you sow. Now, Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What you sow has a great effect on how your life goes. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1:12, that everything is reproduced after its kind. So the kind of seed that you sow makes a difference, doesn't it? You don't sow corn and expect to get wheat. You don't sow cotton and then get out there and expect to thrash soybeans. What you sow makes all the difference in the world. God set it up that way. You plant a potato, you get a potato. And the principles, they do not just work this way in agriculture. If you sow little in finances, then, according to the Bible, you're going to reap little in finances. How many of you see that? Is that Scripture? Talk to me. Is that Scripture? Is that Scripture? If you sow little in finances, you're going to reap what? Little in finances. That's Scripture. All right? So the Bible tells us that if you plant nickels, you get nickels. All right? So when the offering plate comes by, think about it before you plant. So, principle number one, the harvest depends on whether you sow. And secondly, the harvest depends on what you sow. How many of you got those 2 points down? All right, number three, your harvest depends on how much you sow. Your harvest depends on how much you sow. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9:6. He which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So it just does not, the Bible tells us that the question should be not what do I want to sow, it's how much do I want to harvest. If you want to harvest a lot, what do you got to do? Sow a lot. All right? If you want to harvest a lot, sow a lot. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? That's just what it teaches. That's simply what it says. You know, and the question should not be, you know, what do I want? The question should be, how much do I put into it? You know, it's that way in work. You don't show up one day a week and then expect the end of the week, expect a full check with overtime pay. Well, maybe you do. No, you understand that, don't you? That when you put a lot in it, man, when you work 96 hours this week, you expect that check to reflect that as opposed to working 40 hours this week. And the Bible teaches us the same thing. That if we expect God to respond, the Bible teaches us that He will. Your harvest depends on how much you sow. Number four, your harvest depends on where you sow. It depends on where you sow. sow seeds in your living room. That's not the proper environment that you can grow these seeds in. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus taught about ground. He says, others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30-fold. Jesus said, there's different kinds of soil. There are places that it's not worth sowing in. Where do you give? Where do you give? The Bible teaches us that God intends that our sowing is through our local church. Bring all the tithe, all of the tithe, into the storehouse, your storehouse. If this is where you attend, this is your church. Your tithe needs to go here, not to Aunt Sally's place, not to that preacher you heard on the radio. Your tithe should come to your local church, all right? Why? Because the Bible tells us there are needs that are here, and it is God's plan. You see, God placed you here with your resources to be available to this church family. Do you realize that? God gives gifts to men and women. And He gives those gifted men and women to His church family. There's a reason why you are here at Starlight. God brought you here, and He wants you to be a blessing here. He wants this church family to be a blessing to you, and He wants you to be a blessing to your church family. Your gifts should be primarily utilized through your local church. That's the shroud. That's the protective shield, is the local church. And there are a lot of parachurch ministries, and I'm not preaching against those ministries. What I am saying is they need to be first centered under a local church. There need to be. God does not promise to perpetuate anybody's ministry, but He does promise to perpetuate His church. And so the place where your primary giving should take place, your tithe should always go to your local church. Now, your offerings above the tithe, if you want to give an offering to some other ministry or some other program, that is your freedom to do that. But your tithe is never to be designated. It's never to be sent somewhere else. It's to be placed in your local church. This is the soil that God wants you to plant in. Amen. How many of you get that? So it matters. It matters where you sow. It's important that we sow in our local church. Number five, your harvest depends on when you sow. Your harvest depends on when you sow. You know, most of us understand enough about agriculture to understand that you don't harvest the same time you plant. You don't put it in the ground today and this afternoon you go out and harvest it. Your harvest depends on when you sow. We expect everything to happen instantly in our society. Boy, we are microwave and we can't wait. We want 4G. We want this thing moving fast, everything we do. But you know, God doesn't operate on that schedule. And you probably have learned this many times, but God does not jump just because you say, I want it today. As a matter of fact, He teaches us that from the concept of sowing and reaping, that it takes time. We would go out in the spring of the year and we would turn the ground over and get it all get the seed beds made for that it would be nice and the soil, the dirt, you could just turn it with your fingers. And then we'd plant the seed in, and then there's nothing for days. You just go out there and look, and there's nothing. And then one morning you drive by and look, and there's little cracks in the ground. And then the next morning you look and there's little velvet leaves that just began to stick through that ground. It's a miracle. Absolute miracle. Some of that gumbo that we used to farm was so hard you couldn't hardly drive a nail through it with a hammer. How in the world would those little old sensitive little velvet leaves push through that ground. It's a miracle of God. But even when the little plant came up, there's nothing to harvest. And weeks would go by and months would go by. And you would not see anything. There was no harvest until late that year. You know, the Bible teaches us that we need to be patient. A lot of times people feel like, well, I tried that. I gave and nothing happened. You know, we need to learn to be patient. No farmer plants in the spring and expects to get a harvest in the spring. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, we will reap. Let me say that again. We will reap. Say it with me. We will reap. Is there any room there for it not to happen? We will reap. Say it. We will reap. If we faint not. You see, that's the only thing that limits it is when you quit. When you give up. There's no way around. The Bible says, if you will plant, you will reap. If you don't give up. So the scripture teaches us that your harvest depends on when you sow. Next thing, notice number 6, your harvest depends on why you sow. Your harvest depends on why you sow. Now listen carefully to what I'm going to say to you. God is not opposed to financial gain. If God has blessed you financially, you don't have to kind of put your head down because you're not as spiritual as those that are struggling. The Bible tells us that God gives us all of these good gifts richly to enjoy. What God gives you, He wants you to enjoy it. How many of you, God has given you some things? Raise your hand. I love toys. I'm a big boy. I love toys. I love gadgets. Man, I get find something, I want to find gadgets with it. I like it. I got to where I can't half work them, but I like gadgets. I need somebody to show me how on my gadgets now. But I like toys, and God has been so good. And when God gives us His toys, He wants you to enjoy them. So there is nothing wrong. God is not opposed in you becoming financially secure. God is not opposed to you moving forward. But He is offended when our purpose in giving is to become less, when our purpose in giving to Him becomes less and less about honoring and loving and serving Him and more about advancing our cause. That offends God. Are you giving not because you care at all about His kingdom, not because you're interested at all in His work? You just feel like, hey, man, I found a system here. I mean, here's dead sure promise. Man, if I'll give, God's on record. And so, man, I'm gonna be a millionaire one day. I'm gonna give my way to it. God's got to. He's got to. I mean, He says it. He's got to. You think God sees your motive? You think He understands your heart? The Bible teaches us that the harvest depends on why you sow. When your heart is about honoring and about pleasing God with your life and with your resources, then He has every reason to respond to your request. God wants to bless, but He wants your heart to be in the right place for that blessing. You know, the truth is, some folks can't handle much blessing. Isn't it sad? Is that true? There are some people that as long as you are having to pray for your daily bread, you stay on prayer time. I mean, you keep holy ground around you. Lord, it's me. God, if you don't come through, I'm sunk, man. Please, Lord. But the moment God begins to bless you financially, you forget to pray. On the farm, we paid at the end of the week. Now, there were a few farmers that would pay you for every sack of cotton that you picked. Now, I loved that. As a kid, I loved that. I worked for Mom and Dad, and that wasn't their philosophy. But my Aunt Geneva, at their place, they paid per sack full. Now, boy, I liked that. J.R. and I could ride our bicycles over to Aunt Geneva's place, grab our pick sacks, and take about 2 hours and pick us a sack of cotton, turn it in, get paid for it, and head to the store. Man, that 35 cents was absolutely burning our pockets off. Could hardly wait to get there. And we wanted to spend that money, amen? You know, they were adults that would pick long enough to go party, and then you wouldn't see them the rest of the week. I mean, they wouldn't show up. There's the cotton in the fields, and you're needing harvesters, and they got all they needed that first day. And so most farmers would not pay to the end of the week so that you would keep working all week long. You know, sometimes we're like that. Sometimes God knows how much we can handle financially. You know, maybe if you hit it big. You know, it's one thing to tithe on a dollar. It's just a dime. It's one thing to tithe on 10 bucks. That's just a dollar. I mean, it's a little more to tithe on 100 bucks. That's 10 bucks. But man, 1,000. Now, we're talking some money now. And there are folks that can tithe on $10, but man, you give them 1,000. Woo. Preacher, I don't know that I can afford to give $100. Are you that way? Huh? Does God have to keep you down here financially so you'll be faithful and honest with Him? I'm saying that there's a principle here that the harvest depends on why you sow. When God looks at your heart, what does He see? Listen to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." God sees why you do this. I read a story about a man out in a desert, and he was out of water and got to the point that he felt that he could lose his life. And finally, he found his way to a pump, and there was a small jar next to that pump. And it had attached a note to it. This is what it said. "This water is not to drink. It's to prime the pump. When you prime the pump, you will get more water than you could ever drink. When you're done drinking, leave the jar full for the next person." Now, immediately, he has a decision to make. He feels like he's dying of thirst. There's a little bit of water. Does he pour that water down the pump with the faith that more water is going to come out? Or does he take that water and at least the little that he has will maybe cover another day or two? What does he do? And so the man decides, all right, he will prime the pump. And so he chose to pour the water in, and he pours a little water in. How many of you remember the old red pumps? You remember those? And you remember that? And boy, there's a lot of ignorance in this room. And you pour that water in, and boy, he pump, and nothing happened. And he poured a little bit more water in and pump, and nothing happened. And finally, he commits the whole glass of water and pours all of it in there, and slowly that leather begins to soften inside that pump and expand, and then the water begins to gush out. I guess it comes down to this. God has given to all of us a little jar full. And you can consume it on yourself, or you can prime the pump. And that's really what it comes down to. But if you give, there is a divine promise. It shall be given unto you. I want you to bow your head tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed in the room. God has more resources than you will ever, ever need. And His well is bigger than your dreams. The decision before you, am I going to prime the pump or will I keep it for myself? You can keep it, but when it's gone, it's gone. Or you can prime the pump by giving back to God what is already His, and He promises to supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. In a moment, we're going to stand. Maybe tonight God has spoken to your heart. Maybe He's challenged you. Maybe you realize tonight that God's principles for finances are ironclad and they're clearly laid out in Scripture. And maybe tonight, for the first time you realize the decision that you need to make. Maybe this morning when your opportunity came to put in your tithe check, maybe you withheld that tonight, but tonight God's speaking to your heart, and maybe tonight you say, Lord, it's time. I'm going to trust you with my finances. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you realize, I need to open my heart to God. I don't care who you are or what's going on in your life. You can trust God. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, in a moment when we stand, I invite you to come. Say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. And we'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe tonight you need to come and say, dear God, I need to trust you with my home and my family. Whatever that need is, when we say stand, we invite you to come. Are you ready? Let's stand, and would you come?